Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sponsored by Mass Golf and Wedgewood Pines. Now, here's Hardy.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. If you're reeling from last night's Bruins loss in overtime, I'm right there with you. There's going to be plenty of Bruins talk later on today on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Don't you worry about that. Along with Celtics, who have one more game to play here this afternoon. Red Sox trying to complete their sweep over there at Fenway Park. But for this hour, we talk golf and only golf. You're welcome to join us at 617-779-0985. Today on the show, the gentleman from Fling Golf will be on. Now, you might remember a couple of years ago, the guys from Fling Golf were a part of the show. Fling Golf is the, I'm going to call it the lacrosse golf hybrid. It's played on golf courses. It is everything in terms of rules that you would have in golf. The main difference being, and the obvious difference being, you do not strike the golf ball with a golf club. You fling the ball with something that is more like a lacrosse stick than it is a golf club. And this is, I don't want to say it's a new sport because it's truly a hybrid of golf, and it's more like golf than anything else. But this activity is invented like years ago, and the guys from Fling Golf were on Shark Tank on Friday night. So I believe this will serve as their first post-Shark Tank interview when we talk with the guys from Fling Golf here coming up in a few minutes. Also, we're going to get to the ranking of the top 100 U.S. golf courses. We love lists. I love lists. I'm a sucker for these lists. Every time they come out, there are a couple of surprises on the top 100 list, and a golf course in Massachusetts that made the top 100 that I'm very, very happy about that we'll get to here in just a little bit. First, we will focus in on the golf tournament taking place right now in McKinney, Texas. And when I say right now, I mean like in just a little while, these guys are going to get on the course for the fourth and final round because there is some real weather forecasted later today in that part of Texas. So they're going to try and get this tournament done with. I believe they're going off as threesomes here, starting in less than an hour. The grouping of Johnson Wagner, Will Zalatoris, who you'll remember from the Masters, the guy who looked like the dude from Happy Gilmore, and Wesley Bryan, they're all going off at 8 o'clock, along with Brian Stewart, I believe. They may even do two tees to try and get these guys done with for the day, which means that your tournament leader, Sam Burns, is going to tee off at 10 o'clock this morning. He'll be playing with Kyung-Hoon Lee, who is one stroke off the lead. And then right behind them, you're going to have Alexander Norn and Jordan Spieth, both three strokes off the lead. Matt Kuchar and Charles Schwartzel, also three strokes off the lead. We'll focus in on Sam Burns here for a minute. if Sam Burns is not quite a household name yet, that would be understandable. He's only won one tournament, but he did win it this year. This is one of these guys who seems to be coming into his game all at once. He's only 24 years old. Sam Burns, born in Shreveport, I believe played his college golf at Louisiana State. He was one of these AJGA players, the American Junior Golf Association. I played in one AJGA event down the Cape years ago with, you know, they put a couple of these players in your group, and then you go out there and play. And we were all playing, you know, just normal men's tees. They had the AJGA player in our group who was either 16 or 17 at the time, pushed all the way back to the tips at the golf course, which has changed names now. I believe it started as the Golf Club of Cape Cod, and that's you know, that there are a couple down there, right? One right near the Cape Club of Falmouth, which I believe it's changed names now. But anyway, these AJGA players are unbelievable with how good they are at such a young age. Sam Burns was an AJGA Junior Player of the Year in 2014. So he's been very good for a very long time, but the fact that he already has his first tournament win at the tender age of 24 years old, and that came earlier this year at the Valspar Championship, really just a couple weeks ago. I think that's the tournament that started at the end of April, and it finished off on May 2nd. So he's got one tour, one win on the web.com tour. That came 3 years ago. But since then, he has obviously made it on the PGA Tour and now has put himself in a position to get a second PGA Tour win in this tournament, the AT&T, which now serves as the warm-up for the PGA Championship. PGA Championship, our next major, is next week. So there are a lot of good names in the field. There are a lot of top players in the field. I mentioned Jordan Spieth, just three strokes off the lead, who seems to have found his game again. Matt Kuchar, who always seems to be lurking around the leaderboard, especially at majors. And there are a lot of guys who are treating this not as a week off to prepare necessarily for the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island, but are participating in this event. So Sam Burns, to just give you an idea of the type of player that he is, I believe it was the second round where he went on an absolute tear. It was on Friday. His back nine went par, birdie, 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 two pars, and then two birdies to finish the round. Six birdies in a span of seven holes to finish things off in his second round. He shot a 62, 65, 62 to open things up. And then he came back to earth a little bit yesterday in his third round, 69. But to have a one stroke lead over Kinhoon Lee right now just tells you the type of golf that all these guys are playing right now. Lee shot a pair of 65s to open things up. He came back to earth a little bit yesterday with the 67. The name that I'm most enamored with here on the leaderboard, and Sam Burns is playing some great golf right now, and yes, he could very easily win this tournament to pick up his second PGA Tour win here today. But the fact that Jordan Spieth is back playing well again, it really is fantastic. And I was not a Jordan Spieth fan from the jump. I found him to be just a little too perfect. There wasn't enough there for me to root for in terms of just the personality, not of the man, but of the game. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, your favorite players, at least my favorite players in this sport, tend to have a personality to their games, whether it's Phil Mickelson's personality of his game being the short game master. And I wouldn't even necessarily say Phil is one of my favorites, but you cannot deny he is one of the greats. Dustin Johnson with his prodigious length. Guys that you like to watch, whether it's Bryson DeChambeau because of the uniqueness of his swing. Just have some type of personality to your game so that you can attach yourself to it in some way. And Jordan seemed to be lacking that. And unfortunately for Jordan Spieth, what it took to give his game personality started with, and I don't take anything away from his game. When he was winning that string of majors, when he won his cluster early on, I believe the personality to his game, and this isn't the most exciting thing in the world, but it was his short to mid-range putting. There was a time when Jordan Spieth could not miss a putt of 4 to 6 feet, and he made an amazing percentage in the 8 to 10 foot range, which doesn't sound like much, but if you play yourself or you watch enough golf, you know these guys are not automatic on their 10-footers. They're just not. They're hitting it around 55% or something. It's a crazy lower number than you would think. But when Jordan Spieth was you know, in his early prime, let's call it, his putting was what gave his game the personality, if any. But what it took for me to attach myself to Jordan Spieth were the mistakes, dropping two in Rays Creek at the Masters, and then losing his game to the point where he really didn't know where the ball was going for a while. And he lost touch in his short game. He lost control off the tee. And now to see him regain it, and I'm not saying that the kid has never suffered any problems in his life, but some humility in his golf game. To me, that's what makes him a more compelling figure right now. And to watch the way he has played in just this tournament, just take the snapshot of the AT&T down there in Texas. In the first round, he eagles 18 to get into the clubhouse after shooting a 63. Yesterday, once again, after making bogeys at 15 and 16, what does he do? Eagles 18 to salvage what was going to be a really disappointing third round. And instead, he puts it together and finds himself in a position to make a real run at things today. So, he changes what would have been a kind of a ho-hum 68 into a really nice third-round score of 66. Things were much tougher on that course yesterday. He shot the third lowest round of the day, thanks to that eagle on 18. So to say that it doesn't matter whether you like a player or not. It doesn't matter whether I like him or not. I like watching him play now. I think his game has some personality now, and it's a direct result of the struggles that he's had in his game. And now, making it even a better story, Jordan Spieth seemed to recover from those struggles, find his way back to the tops of leaderboards again. All right, so that's what's going on in tournament golf right now. As I mentioned, the PGA Championship is next week. We'll get to that a little bit more. We'll do a PGA Championship preview toward the end of the show. We'll also look at the top 100 golf courses ranked by Golf Digest here in a little while. But coming up next, the guys from Fling Golf, who were on Shark Tank on Friday night, will find out about their appearance on the show. Lots of spoilers if you haven't watched it yet. But the two gentlemen from Fling Golf will be joining us next here, Alex Van Allen and John Prulidge. Coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. On the phone, Alex Van Allen and John Prulidge, the co-founders of Fling Golf, who appeared on Shark Tank not long ago, just a couple of nights ago, and are now with us here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I believe this is one of your first post-show interviews after your appearance on Shark Tank, guys. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks for having us, Hardy. It is. It's good to talk to the local Boston crowd.
Absolutely. Get the scoop.
All right, so Alex, you and I spoke years ago. Fling Golf, already been on the Sports Hub Golf Club. A quick recap, what is Fling Golf?
Yeah, Fling Golf is a relatively new sport that you play on a golf course with a golf ball. But instead of hitting the golf ball, you use a fling stick, which we created. And the fling stick, it's best to think of it as like lacrosse golf. So instead of hitting the ball with one of your 14 clubs, you just have a single fling stick and you have to throw the ball and you can shape shots, you know, from tee to hole, shape every shot. You can do flop shots, bump and runs. You can throw it really far. And it's just a great way to get out on the course. It's really fun.
And once you're up on the green, you can flip the fling stick around and use it as a putter. So everything is flung lacrosse style right up until you get onto the green, and then you putt out like everybody else.
You putt out with it. It's got what we call striker pads on the side, and we've got a new contraption since we spoke last. It's called a putting slug, and you put that into the channel, and it makes it feel really close to a traditional putter. And so you're actually hitting the ball on the green.
Here's the thing about being on Shark Tank. Now we know even more about this company, and you guys were on with this before, and there was a lot of excitement building. I didn't know that when you said it was like you and Alex, it's really you and Alex. I'm sure you've had a lot of help and support over the years, but you know, from watching the show last night, I understand that you two have a lot invested in this, literally and figuratively. This has become your lives.
Yeah, just to clarify, Hardy. So, I haven't been there since the beginning. I actually founded it, and another guy who's been there almost from day one, Steve Bloom. Just a shout out to him because he's really the glue that sort of puts the whole operation side together. But then I was introduced to Alex about 3 years ago and fell in love with the concept. Decided I had experience with startups before, and I wanted to invest, but I didn't want to just invest. I wanted to help really, you know, help them run the business and grow this thing because I love the concept so much.
Well, I love it too. And that's why, you know, Alex, you and I talked about this years ago on the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's a great way to get kids out onto the golf course with you, especially kids. Like I'm thinking of my daughter who has played lacrosse. She's also played golf, but let's face it, golf is really hard. And if you get frustrated early, it can be a challenge to get them back out onto the golf course. Fling golf is a great way for people who are either intimidated by golf or are struggling with their game just to get back out onto the course, get the feel of what it's like to walk 9 or even 18 holes, fling the ball as opposed to striking the ball, and play golf in a non-traditional way that I think is a little more accessible, especially for younger players.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's much easier to start than golf. It's still a challenge to master, you know, get the short game down and everything, but it does get people out there real quick. And the great thing about it is you can play with golfers. You can play the same foursomes. So we get a lot of families out playing. If you think of it sort of like snowboarding and skiing, it's two sports at the same time. Families can do, you know, parents can play golf, kids can play fling golf or any mix, you know, any mix of that. But like you said, it is a great way to get people out on the course. You don't have that frustration, and it gets the young players out. That's the best thing.
Okay, so let's skip to you guys being on Shark Tank the other night. You were met with some resistance by a couple of the quote-unquote investors there because they thought golf courses wouldn't allow this on their course. What do you say to that?
And that's the number one question, whether it's from the Sharks or anyone else, is can you really play this on a golf course? And the answer is yes. And, you know, to start with, the golf course doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to modify their course using a regular golf ball. You actually play at a slightly faster pace so you can be completely seamless with playing with other golfers or other fling golfers. So most courses, if they don't have fling sticks themselves, once they find out about the concept, they realize that for, you know, your average person, they're actually going to be much more accurate with a fling stick than they are if they're a beginning golfer. And as you know, a beginning golfer or a bunch of beginning golfers are really going to slow down a golf course. So most of the golf courses that are finding out about this are really embracing it.
Well, you just said it. If I go over to my club on a Saturday afternoon and I'm just speaking honestly here because my kids play with me sometimes too. But if I get behind a group that includes a couple of kids who are first timers, I say, oh boy, where am I going to be able to get around them quickly? Second hole, third hole, is there an opening? If I see a couple of kids in front of me with fling sticks, I'm like, oh, no problem. This group is going to be moving as fast as I am. So in terms of pace of play, there's no issue. But One of the sharks last night, yeah, you guys are going to have to refresh me, because other than Mark Cuban, I don't know who any of these people are. One of them said, I'm a member of a lot of clubs, and there's no way they're going to allow this at my club. Oh, shut up. Maybe at Winged Foot, they wouldn't necessarily accept this right away. But other clubs, you guys have already seen this accepted as a thing that's perfectly fine to go out there and do.
Yeah, I mean, we've been played on well over 1,200 courses now in about 27 countries, actually. And that really runs the gamut between, you know, your local nine-hole mom-and-pop course all the way up to, I mean, we played Torrey Pines. It's been played on Pebble Beach. And I mentioned in the show last night, it's even been played at the country club in Brookline. And, you know, that's just a matter of a member taking it out there and going and playing. And it just shows how seamless. Now, the country club is not our, like, target course. but it shows how seamless it is. You know, it didn't fall, you know, it didn't explode when someone came out with a fling stick on it. And right. It's just...
The world didn't end.
You know, he brought his kid out there to play, and he tried it out and had fun and all that. So it's really that... It's more seamless than snowboarding and skiing. It's like you were saying. It's really... There are no divots. It's actually... You know, faster than golf if you want it to be.
It's lower impact on the golf course. The pacing for a beginning player is going to be much faster. And one of the other sharks said something, I just don't think it's going to be safe to have these balls flinging around. It's like, hey, come stand in front of me when I shank this pitching wedge from 100 yards out. I don't think I'm going to kill you with a fling stick, but I can absolutely put you in the hospital when I hosel rocket one from the middle of the fairway. It's not unsafe. I don't know what she was thinking.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. It's once you've got this down in, you know, 15 minutes on the range, it's a little bit like riding a bike. I mean, you get very accurate and you really know what you're doing. And you can actually shape it different ways. You know, you can fade it, you can draw it. You can't slice it and you can't hook it. But you can fade and draw, so it's kind of perfect that way.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not all bad news. You weren't met with all this resistance. Spoiler alert for people who haven't watched the show yet, you guys did get one of the sharks. Who was it that came on board, and what are the details of that?
It was Daniel Lebesky, the founder of Kind Bars, who was one of the guest sharks. He jumped in and we struck a deal with him on the show, which is great. He's a great guy and really have liked working with him.
For the people who are interested in this, you guys brought up a couple of the price points last night. There's like $100 fling stick. There's $179 fling stick. And just so we're clear, what else do you need to play fling golf other than that one fling stick?
Yeah, it's really just a fling stick and a golf ball. And then you're ready to go. You know, we've got that putting slug also makes a big difference for putting on the green. But really, those three things is all you need. So it weighs a half a pound. So imagine carrying a half a pound stick around instead of lugging, you know, 14 clubs and 25 pounds of golf bag and stuff.
I was re-inspired and reinvigorated to talk to you again, Alex. And John, I'm glad you're on the phone too, because Alex, you and I talked about this years ago, but, you know, watching you guys on Shark Tank and then thinking about it, I'm like, this really is great. Just to be able to get like people out on the course who don't necessarily want to go play. You don't need a ton of equipment. Hell, you don't even need that many golf balls. I'm guessing the number of lost balls playing fling golf is an infinitesimal fraction compared to the number of lost balls there are when you're playing actual golf.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And the best thing is you don't need to play with a $5 Pro V1 either. You can play with a pickle or whatever ball you find at the bottom of your bag, you know, or the back of your car. It really doesn't make too much difference. Although we are working on, you know, which balls do fly better, but basically it's not that important right now.
Yeah. Usually, and you're around with more balls than you started with.
Right.
Yeah, you know, for an accessory, I think you need something on the other end, you know, like a ball retriever. You need something to get into the creeks and stuff while everyone else is hacking around in the woods. The fling golfers can be down in the water scooping out those Pro V1s. You could sell them back to the other guys in your group at the end of the round. You could actually pay for your fling stick in about 2-3 rounds, I would think.
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Alex Van Allen and John Prulidge of Fling Golf. Where do people go to find out more, to buy the stick? And are there courses that have fling sticks like on site that you can go play right now and just try it out that way first?
Yeah, absolutely. The place to go is flinggolf.com. That's our website. and you'll see maps there. We have a map showing where fling sticks are for rent, where people have played fling golf, and other courses that you can go approach for fling golf. The way we really grow is our players go out to courses, you know, wherever they live, and they take the fling stick out there and introduce it to the course. So it's really a grassroots movement. And like I said, we've been played on, we know it's at least 1,200 courses in 27 countries already, just because it's so easy for people to, you know, to go out there and take it to the local course and go play.
Excellent. Flinggolf.com. There's a map there of places that are already doing it and a place where you can buy the fling sticks. And I'm logging onto the website right now so I can get fling sticks for the kids, because I want them on the golf course with me. And I'll tell them, like, don't take it so seriously. It's not golf golf. It's fling golf. It'll be fun.
It's one of our taglines. Relax. It's fling golf.
Boy, you could use that just for golf golf too. Relax, Hardy. It's golf. Just calm down. Alex and John, thanks for taking the time. Flinggolf.com. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Absolutely. Thanks, Hardy.
We'll tee up more of the Sports Hub Golf Club in a moment on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I believe we're back. Very good. It's Hardy. Thank you to Alex and John from Fling Golf. And like I said, if you haven't watched Shark Tank from the other night, spoiler alert, they were on. They got offered a deal. I don't know how those things actually end up working out. But I think more than anything, that that show creates kind of like a forum for entrepreneurs. I don't watch it on a regular basis, but and I know it's like reality TV and, you know, you're watching stuff and how much of it is actually happening, but I kind of got into it. I kind of get the Shark Tank thing now. I know there are people who are like into it, like watch it as a family. I don't know that we're going to go that route, but I think I could end up watching that show. All right. So every couple of years, Golf Digest does the 100 greatest courses in America. And this always causes, you know, types of arguments and discussion and stuff. It really gets crazy when they do them by state and they list the best courses within each state. Because, I mean, I don't know how you compile a list of the best courses in America. You could conceivably get a group of people around who have been to all these, been to all these courses and played most of them and, you know, have a discussion about it. When you start factoring in the best courses in each state and you're trying to list 10, 15 or 20 of them, I mean, that task becomes, you know, just exponentially greater. But okay, it's a fair jumping off point. And for this year's list, it just came out a week or two ago. There are a couple of surprises on here. Number one, you always expect either Augusta or Pebble to be at number one. But there have been shakeups at the very top of the list before. So instead of, you know, working our way down, we'll start at the top. And the number one golf, the pollen is still out there, isn't it? The number one golf course in America, according to Golf Digest, is Pine Valley. Pine Valley has been ranked pretty much every year on this list since they started doing it in 1966. So it's been over 50 years they've been doing the rankings of golf courses in America. It was number one for a period of 15 years, and then again sporadically, including the last time they did it. Golf Digest loves Pine Valley. So if you were expecting Pebble or Augusta National to be at the top of the list, nope, once again, it is Pine Valley. Augusta National is number two. Cypress Point is number three. And actually, you have to go down a little bit before you find Pebble Beach. I mean, four and five, you've got Shinnecock, you've got Oakmont, you've got Marion in at number six. Pebble Beach is down at number eight. So for what that's worth. Fisher's Island, by the way, which I was kind of last minute invited to go play two summers ago, and I couldn't. Still kicking myself over that one. That comes in at number nine. And then I'm happy to see this course in Nebraska make it in the top 10 once again. It's maybe the best course on this list that you've never heard of, Sand Hills Golf Club in Mullen, Nebraska. And I've never played it, even though my wife is from Nebraska. I have family in Nebraska. But this is a Bill Cor in a Ben Crenshaw design. And when they talk about this course, they talk about it being maybe the most natural of golf courses on this list. They say that they walked over just thousands and thousands of acres of land and, you know, very naturally kind of let the golf course, you know, kind of come to them, right? Seriously, they walk the course, and I think a lot of golf courses are made like this where, you know, the trees and the landscape would allow it. But they, you know, they put flags down and they walk around and they say, okay, this is where a fairway is going to be. This is where we can put a green. And they let the winds kind of like shape the bunkers, so they didn't have to move that much. They didn't have to move a ton of land around when they were making this golf course. So the fact that this little, it's not little, but this relatively unheard of golf course in Nebraska makes the top 10, I think is a cool thing. All right. I said that there were a couple of courses on here. I was happy to see that they ranked as high as they did. Because there have been a couple of things about the country club not making lists or either being too far down the list. They're definitely top 20. I think anyone who's walked the country club, I've never played it, but I've been on the grounds a couple of times. It's tough to imagine this not making at least a top 25 list of courses in the country once you see it. And it is. It's in there at number 17. So glad to see that. Oakland Hills, which is a course, another one that I never played, but very close to where I grew up. It grew up, you know, north of Detroit. This is in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, a nicer town than the one I grew up in. But Oakland Hills, the South course, is a top 25 course still. It's number 21. The Ocean course, where the PGA Championship will be contested next week. This is the first course on this list, I think, that I actually have played. It's been a while since I played it. It's the most difficult golf course I've ever played in my life. It's unbelievably hard. It's number 24, Kiawah Island, South Carolina. And if you've never seen it before, you'll be able to watch it next week when the PGA Championship is played there. Shadow Creek in Las Vegas, number 27. I've got that on my I've got that in my sights for this year, as a matter of fact, to play that course. But the one that I really wanted to talk about here, and it comes in at number 69. I believe it made its first appearance on the Golf Digest top 100 list, maybe just the last time around. I want to get this right. Let's see. It debuted in the rankings in the 2019-2020 version of this list. When it debuted on the list, it was number 76. Now it's up at number 69. It is a golf course in Massachusetts in South Hamilton. On the top 100 golf courses in America, in at number 69, the Myopia Hunt Club. Now, I say this to people sometimes when they talk about your, you know, you hang out and talk about your favorite golf courses, and I said, Myopia. I love Myopia. I've played it maybe four or five times. And it is the one that people say, Myopia. Either never heard of it or, yeah, I've heard a little bit about it. Here's what Golf Digest says about it. It is a funky, quirky lark where greens look like bath mats and bunkers look like bathtubs. This part I knew because I tell people all the time. They hosted four U.S. Opens, but all before 1908. And the club only had nine holes for two of them. Myopia has always retained a reputation of being a tough little rascal with tiny greens, deep bunkers, and several cross hazards. Thanks to a restoration, Myopia looks like it did in its U.S. Open heyday, but with much better turf and conditions now. So I was very happy to see Myopia staying on the top 100 list and actually moving up a few spots up to number 69. The one hole, I guess two signature holes of Myopia. Number four, which I believe the photograph on Golf Digest, I can't tell if that's number four or not. It is a par four. It's a dogleg left, which on a lot of golf courses wouldn't look like much. And that is until you hit your approach into the green and you realize if you're above the hole, you're dead. The greens at Myopia are absolute tabletops. I don't know how to putt them. I don't play it that well enough. I'm not a good enough player to really know how to putt them, but they are absolute lightning. And if you get above the hole, it doesn't look like much. It doesn't look that treacherous. But you can't hold the green, and you have to approach it from below the hole. But the other hole that I always tell people about is number nine at Myopia. It is a 135-yard par three. There's nothing to it. You know, you got some water in front, kind of a pond that you have to hit over. It doesn't come into play. The green, I've paced it myself on this ninth hole at Myopia, is 27 feet wide. It's nine paces across. And I believe when I counted, there were 11 bunkers surrounding the green. Some of them steep enough to where they had the railroad ties built into the side so you could get in and out. The green itself has a lot of depth to it, to where you could hit probably two, maybe even three different clubs and hold that green in terms of length. So from 135, let's say it's 115 to the front of the green and maybe all the way to 145 to the back. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a long green, but the narrowness of it just says, hey, here you go. Here's a 135-yard par three. Can you hit a 9-iron? Oh, you're going to have to hit it really, really straight. You're going to have to hit it on target, or you're going to end up in one of those 11 bunkers around the green. It's such a fun golf course. It is, I guess, the poster child for a golf course where you say you don't care what you shoot, because you're going to 3 and 4 putt greens and you just have to make your peace with it before you step onto the course that day. Everybody walks. You don't take a card at Myopia. You walk that course. You know, you start off with a par four that's less than 300 yards. And then two holes later, you're playing a par three that often plays into the wind that tops out at around 250. It's crazy. It is. It's like Golf Digest says. It's quirky. It's funky. It's a wild ride on this course in South Hamilton, Mass. So I don't know how this turned into a love letter for Myopia. I guess just because I was happy to see them on the top 100 courses for a second straight time here, according to Golf Digest. All right, let's step aside here, and we will come back and do a quick preview of the next major championship on the calendar, which, yes, is coming up next week, the reconfigured tour calendar that started a couple of years ago and then got all messed up last year due to COVID. It is back, though, which means the PGA Championship will be held next week. We'll talk about it next on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Don't head for the clubhouse yet. More of the Sports Hub Golf Club after these on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Vaccine.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I'm just double checking here. I can't believe. Yeah, all right, I am right. I was second guessing myself. The PGA Championship, second major of the year, actually starts on May 20th. Yes. This Thursday, May 20th is this Thursday. It's being held at the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. One of the toughest golf courses these guys play. It is without a doubt the toughest golf course I've ever been on in my life. And just so you know of kind of what it's like and what it looks like, if you don't remember ever watching anything there or you haven't seen it, a lot of the scenes from The Legend of Bagger Vance, which is an okay book. It's a borderline putrid movie, but a lot of the golf scenes were filmed at the ocean course at Kiawah Island, from what I've read. So there you go. I didn't recognize any of them. I was only on the course once in the 90s, so it's been a while. But they have hosted other events there. They had the 2012 PGA Championship there, and the 91 Ryder Cup, which a lot of people remember that. But if you're looking for a golfer, if you're doing prop swap, if you're doing anything with DraftKings, if you're doing anything with trying to choose golfers for the PGA Championship, a few things to be on the lookout for. Sal Johnson, by the way, did a write-up on this, and Sal Johnson is a guy who's been around golf for a long time. I think he produced Inside the PGA Tour, and he worked with Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and he did this big golf stats database. So he brings up some obvious things and some less obvious things, but he brings up the fact that Rory has been playing well lately, and he won the 2012 PGA Championship at Kiawah Island by 8 shots. And this is okay. He likes that course. He's got some good memories there. That's something to be thinking about. And not surprisingly, Rory is listed as a 10-1 favorite at William Hill. There are a bunch of golfers at 16-1 or better odds than that. So it's a pretty tight field there at the top. Brooks Koepka is listed at 20-1 right now. I would stay away from Brooks Koepka. I missed the cut at the AT&T this week. I don't know how you can really look at him and say, like, he's a guy I want to put my money on, but it is Brooks Koepka. So I understand if you still think there's something there. Jordan Spieth, absolutely a player to watch for Kiawah Island this week. And Will Zalatoris is listed as one of these guys. Now, Will is the Happy Gilmore looking guy who was the Happy Gilmore caddy looking guy who many of us saw for the first time at the Masters back in April. So he is listed as one to watch, along with Hideki Matsuyama. Now, I love Hideki Matsuyama's game. I've taken him in drafts. I've put money on him over the years. I don't think Hideki Matsuyama is poised to win 2 majors in a row. Now, having said that, of course he could, and I think he's a guy who's going to make the cut. So if you're looking at combining scores for a pool or anything of that nature, Matsuyama, you could do a lot worse than that. So PGA Championship starts on Thursday, which means we'll be doing a lot of major tournament talk on the show next week. Look forward to talking to you then. Like to thank my guests on the show today, Alex Van Allen and John Prulidge from Fling Golf. They were on Shark Tank on Friday night. Fling Golf is the combination of lacrosse and golf that you can go play right now if you want to. I'm going to get out there. Enjoy the day. Hope you get a chance to get out and play before the rains come in later on this afternoon. Thanks again to Tracy Clements, producer this morning. See you next week, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.